Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What I've done for the last 20 years is direct response marketing. I make millions. Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do for money. I'm like the Wizard of Oz.
Lisa and I met the first Sundance that I lived in Utah. I know she has my back. I know she wants what's best for me. I know there's no ulterior motive there.
She was like, oh my God, you're amazing. And I just felt the same way about her. I just really like that Meredith is 100% Meredith all the time. She's super consistent and she's a great person.
Heather and I have been friends for years. We are actually cousins. We are bloodline relatives.
She's the best human I know, and she's such a good friend to me. She never explodes on me. I can tell her anything I want, critical or otherwise, and I know that she will listen and
episode of Everyone's Business But Mine, a special double episode this week as we had the season 3 premiere of Salt Lake City and the penultimate episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, thank God. Joined with me today is Tom Hamlet. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me, Kara.
Thank you so much for being here. Do you want to tell everybody where to find you right now before we get into it?
Right now, stop everything you're doing. Please stop and go to Instagram. You can follow me at the Tom Hamlet. I am one half of the Dumpster Dive podcast with my sister, Kix Hamlet. And we chat all things Bravo and then also kind of throw it back to what kind of reality television brought people into the genre. And we've had Kara on, so go check that episode out. And yeah, we have a fun, we're about to do a fun Halloween series. We're watching old Halloween episodes of Housewives. So make sure to check that out.
Perfect. 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 So you have a sister. I have sisters. Mm-hmm. I feel like this knowledge is really going to help with regard to Beverly Hills, but we're going to talk about the premiere of Salt Lake City first. But I wanted to ask you a quick question. I'm going to steal this from Las Culturistas. Mm-hmm. I want to know, what was the housewife that told you that Housewives in general was for you?
That's interesting. You know, it's definitely going to be someone in New York, because that was a pivotal moment for me. Probably, it's hard to say because so many of these women are like cancelable at this point, but
it's okay. It's a safe space.
You know, it's going to be Bethany or Ramona. Yeah. Only because like those early seasons of Ramona, like bug-eyed walking down the runway and just like not knowing where the camera was, like,
yeah,
just madness. So that was part of it. And then also Bethany's just her Greek chorus aspect of like the early seasons of Roni, where she just really narrated the show. You felt like she was relatable in some sort of way back in 2008. And it just kind of made sense then.
A very important distinction, because 2022 Bethany is a different animal altogether.
Did you see the recent video of her making that like that turkey patty?
Ew, no. I saw a video of her, Bryn rather, making some sort of pumpkin spice cold foam, and I thought, you know what? I'm good.
And someone tweeted on Twitter, they were like, it was a video of the turkey patty thing, and this is like just a reminder that Bethany is a cook, not a chef.
And you know what? She deserves that to come chiming back every single time.
I agree.
Kelly Ben-Simone got one thing right, it was that.
In the moment, as what I remember watching, be like, no, she's a chef. She has like a fat mom. I'm like, in hindsight, like, no, she's a cook.
She is
she's a good cook, but that doesn't mean she's a chef.
Well, I don't even know about that. Based on the recipes that I've seen, I'm not even sure if she's a good cook. And she acts like she makes the best guacamole in the world. She just made it in a random Wednesday afternoon, and it's like earth shattering. And we all need to know the very basic ingredients to guacamole that she somehow has made better than anybody else. It's incredible.
I feel like she just pours like salsa in a jar of avocados and says, ta-da.
Right. Exactly. Well, let's not talk about Bethany, please God. The premiere of Salt Lake City, how did you feel? Did you love it?
So I'm like meh on Salt Lake City overall, because I feel like we hyped them up so much, and then like it's just been kind of a tumultuous relationship with them. But this premiere was everything to me. I'm so excited for this season. I think we have... Speaking of New York, like, it feels like we have old school, it feels like old school Housewives to me. Like, there's alliances changing. It kind of feels like old school New Jersey in the way where families are kind of being split apart. Like, there's just a lot of story here. So I really think we have a lot to look forward to this season.
I wish I could think of who said this, but somebody just said, like, as long as Potomac and Salt Lake are doing well, Atlanta and Orange County really need to watch their backs, because they're kind of like the equivalent franchises. Yeah, like, I'm really excited. I'm gonna start off with two hot takes. Okay. One, do you miss Mary Cosby? Two, do you think Seth is hot?
I did. I don't anymore.
Okay, well, I'll just be alone on that boat by myself then. Okay.
I get it. I get the vibe. I hate when a guy knows that people think he's hot now, you know? Sometimes it's nice to be like, don't you know, like, there are people, like, in this world that you think are hot that not everyone thinks that are hot, and you're like, this is my guy. Like, right. I remember being from the beginning, like, Seth is hot.
Yeah.
And, like, now everyone's on the train, and I'm like, he's on the train.
He's conducting the train.
He is.
And you want off.
He really thought he was doing something when he went grocery shopping, and that look.
The look and the groceries. Yeah, I want to talk about that. Okay, so let's get into it. The first 2 minutes, iconic. Just like,
whoa.
Filled with hypocrisy. I feel like the editors really were in their bag with this. Like,
they nailed that. Is something we've never seen. Like, an old throwback to, like, first time sitting in a chair recording shit that has now all turned on each and every one of them. I mean, it's poetic, honestly.
Like, a complete 180 across the board. Jen Shah and that damn Amazon microphone are talking about how she makes millions of dollars. Oh my God. Meredith and Lisa are talking about how strong their relationship is. Whitney and Heather are talking about how strong their cousin relationship is.
Yep.
And as we find out, like, literally everything is the opposite. Shocking, just truly shocking.
It really makes me sad about Whitney and Heather, to be honest with you.
It does with me too, especially because, well, I'll mention this in a second, but okay, so our first, like, real scene are Lisa meeting up with Heather and Jen meeting up with Meredith, and Meredith and Jen are, like, actually friends, it kind of seems like, whereas to me the Lisa and Heather thing is, like, complete strategery, to quote George W. Bush. Like, completely, like, and Heather knows it too. She's like, I know that I'm the last person in the world who Lisa wants to talk to, but I'm going to entertain this because I want to know what's going on. And yeah, what are your thoughts on Lisa? Because I feel like people really stan her, and I don't, not even ironically.
So I like her a lot, ironically, because she's just crazy. Like, she is a walking soundbite, and it's just fun to see her just navigate this world. Because every time, literally every, I could listen to just, we could turn everyone's mics off, and I would just listen to her navigate, like, a scene and just hear what she says under her breath. Because I'm sure it's just, like, crazy. She just is such a kooky woman, and I gravitate towards kookiness. So I like her for that. But I don't care for her when she's over planning plot lines and things like that. I had to laugh though when she was like, Heather, you get She's like, I had to bring you here because you get away with saying crazy shit. And I said crazy shit too, but everyone loves you and hates me.
Right. She has like no understanding that like you can't just call somebody a whore multiple times and talk of shit about their family, their pussy, their livelihood. And like Heather's not done that, Lisa. That's the difference. But she doesn't get it. And that, you know what? I'm changed my mind. It is actually pretty funny.
It's hilarious. She has no self-awareness, which is where I need my housewives to live in the lack of self-awareness world. Because whenever our Bravo celebrities get a little too much self-awareness is when we lose the thread.
I am fully with you. I think Heather gave her excellent advice. I don't think Lisa got it.
She's not listening. She doesn't listen.
She's like, no, seriously, like you actually have to be humble and genuinely apologetic and like, you're going to have to eat crow for a little bit. And Lisa's like just blinking that hard, fast blink that she does. And it's just like, yeah, got it. Definitely not going to do any of that, but I hear you.
Can we also talk about Cowgirls Are Forever? Because I can't stop thinking about it. Did you notice this?
Fine.
It is the fact that like, I think we forget like on reality shows, like there are people that scout where we're going. Like they like, this is a very pre-planned locale we're at, right?
Right.
And they picked the table, they picked the lighting, like they could ask them to remove something from a wall, like
right.
They felt like it didn't fit the shot.
And
so
yeah,
for them to have so delightfully placed between these two women who act like it's like the meeting of the minds, like in like The Sopranos or something. Like they feel like like we live in this like alternate universe in Salt Lake City within this cast that it's like Mob Wives Salt Lake City. But then seeing just like a sign from Home Goods that says Cowgirls Are Forever behind, it's like just a reminder where we are in like a shopping mall right now. So don't get too like into this high idea that you guys are filming this like high level highbrow show.
Seriously. And I was like praying that Kyle Richards did not see that sign to bring to her Aspen house. Like we don't need any more comparisons.
No.
So okay. Heather then goes over to Whitney's house. This is probably my favorite scene of the episode. First of all, Bobby Rose, Whitney's daughter, is making a list of pros and cons for men in general. And, you know, I've been guilty of doing the same at some point.
Yeah, haven't we all?
Heather, like, going to help her with the list and be like, don't worry about them being attractive. You haven't had ugly sex yet. Like, it's an experience.
Like, this kid is, like, 10.
He's in sixth grade. Like, calm down. It's a lot. But, Whitney's also on this spiritual journey with a woman with very bad bangs named Megan. Did you watch the Teal Swan documentary?
I started it, but something about it didn't hook me. The topic had me. There was something about just like the storytelling, or I don't know. The free form of it all was confusing to me.
Yeah, that's fair. It does have like a sluggish pace to it, but
I would love to watch. I want to watch like an hour and a half movie about it to get like the full story, but go ahead, but dive into it.
I support that. Based on what Whitney was saying and the fact that Teal Swan is based in Utah, I was just very concerned about.
I didn't know. I thought she was an LA girly.
No, she lives in Utah, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I believe you. You consume so much true crime.
I really do. Too much, really. But yeah, I was just like very concerned based on the things that she was saying and like the excommunication from the church. Like Teal Swan's very good at like alienating people from their families and their loved ones and things. Like, not that she shouldn't, like Whitney should not be a Mormon, hands down.
No.
But I'm also concerned that she might be in a cult, a different cult. And that's very concerning for me.
Don't you think that most, I feel like people do that though.
Just like hop.
Yeah, because, and I don't mean to offend anyone about, I'm not an organized religion girl here. I think a lot of it can lean cultish sometimes with a lot of like rules and boundaries and things you can and cannot do told by someone who is like an old white man from the, well, in this case, the 1800s for Mormonism, right?
But literally, like, yeah.
There's a comfort in religion, in guidance, and in cults, that like make you probably crave for something similar to it.
And so much guilt along with we see with Heather. Like, mm-hmm. I thought Heather had completely left the church, but she's like, no, like this would be like the final definitive me leaving. And I don't even know if I can do that. Even though her father is dead and her mom's not talking to her, she still can't like pull the trigger on that because it's still like the trauma. My God.
Yeah, I think she has a, and I actually think she has a lot of resentment towards Whitney being so easily able to let go of Mormonism.
I picked up on that too, because she was just asking a lot of questions. Her feelings
almost.
Yeah, she was asking a lot of questions that I'm like, this doesn't really feel like support. Yeah. It just kind of feels like questioning or like hesitance or like she's afraid for Whitney's afterlife and well-being. I thought that was very odd, but
it was troubling to me, especially seeing the top of the episode where we hadn't seen. We have so much footage in the season, which I'm so excited for. Like, they showed us so much new footage at the top of the episode that wasn't even in the trailer. Like, we didn't really understand the extent of like the fight between Whitney and Heather, but I think that there is, you can see the, I saw the beginning in the Mormon scene, because she wasn't as relieved for Whitney as I think Whitney maybe thought she would be.
Exactly. And the other thing that I picked up on is that they did a quick flash of Heather telling Whitney that she was going to go have lunch with Lisa, and Whitney was actually really supportive and was like, you know what, we're not on good terms, but like maybe this is the start. Yeah. And so I'm wondering if this is like Heather causing shit that she didn't need to be.
Yeah, I, you know, it's giving a little Jill and Bethany to me, where Jill didn't, like, where there was two games being played simultaneously. Yeah. Like what happened there was that Jill was trying to play a game for the show and Bethany was trying to just exist in her real life.
Right.
But they didn't understand each other's game. And so then the fight happens because they're like, you stop talking to me. And she's like, no, but like it, the fight kind of came out of the show. Right. So like, I feel like there's a little bit of that happening here. And I think Heather is the Jill and I think Whitney is the Bethany.
Agreed. I fully agree with you. Oh, yeah. But it also gives shades of like Bethany versus Carol.
That's also a very similar argument though. Like it's a very, their fight is like that. Cause part of the fight was about the show that they couldn't really talk about.
Right. Exactly. So Whitney Cook kicks it over to quitmormon.com to sign the official papers to have her leave. I mean, listen, say what you will about the Mormons, but at least they have like a user-friendly exit strategy.
Well, yeah, because they gotta know who they wish hell upon. They gotta have a list.
Like, they really should have been Teddy and just done like outerdarkness.com, like this is your boy.
Wait, did you watch what's the Sins of My Mother? Did you watch that?
I am going to, but I followed this Lori Vallow story, so I know all about it. And
like the light and dark and the
Oh my God.
We don't have time to talk about
this. We don't. I can really, Lori is like a real trigger for me. I can really go off on her because I can't do it.
I didn't mean to. I believe you're a light person, so
thank you.
You get like light 1, 2, 3, 4 and then dark 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like so crazy.
But by the way, you guys, Sins of My Mother will be on the Patreon next week, so stay tuned for that.
Okay, great. Well, there you go, I plugged it for you. And zombies come into play here. I just want to leave that for anyone
who they always do. So then we're moving on to Jen. She's at her new rental and she's trying to make us feel sorry for her because she went from a 9,000 square foot house to a 4,500 square foot house. And she doesn't know how to work the fireplace and her closet's much smaller than the last one. So poor thing. Poor girl.
Right. Who cares?
Coach Shaw is going to be having his 51st birthday, and Jen's basically just trying to pack it all in. She's got 6 weeks until this court date, or so she thinks. As we all know, you know, different
timelines are confusing. Yeah,
quite, but she's trying to pack in all the good memories that she can. She's going to have a Harlem Nights themed party. And I loved Koshaw being like, do you know what the demographic of Harlem is? Are any of these people coming to Utah?
I was like, and then at this party, I'm like, what is this party? It's like a casino night, but then it's also a 20s party, which I of course understand the Harlem Renaissance, like in that era, but I just like, there's no way for Whitney and Heather and Lisa Barlow to follow the theme Harlem Nights. Like,
no.
I'm actually pleasantly surprised no one did something wildly offensive.
Yeah, like a Diana Ross wig.
No, I didn't say it, but yes.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. So, okay, there was a second Angie. Okay, because Jen says that she's having a party at Angie K's house, but there was the other Angie who
was also in the season.
Yes, the one who looks like Ryan Murphy's
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson, and my apologies, Sarah Paulson. I should know your name.
You really dropped the ball on that one.
It's really Ryan Murphy's fault. Like everybody that's in his universe, I just can never remember their names. So
I feel that.
That's really on him. So yeah, they're gonna have the birthday at Angie's, and yeah, that's basically it. Well, Sharif was like, are you guys gonna be using my party as a way to get to fights with each other? Because like, I really would prefer not to.
Because we've done this before too, at Sharif's birthday party. That was when she threw the glass and she was dressed up like Beyonce at the Super Bowl.
At that like golf center or whatever.
Yeah, Top Golf.
Then our next scene is Meredith. She's at her new house with Seth. Just every season a new house with these people, and I really, really love that.
Mm-hmm.
Seth is, he I guess has gone grocery shopping, but then he got the worst food. I saw ramen noodles. I saw spaghetti. Who eats SpaghettiOs in 2022?
Well, not SpaghettiOs, ramen. I could eat all day. Oh, no.
I could fuck up a chicken ramen or really any flavor at any time. But the SpaghettiOs were no for me. The random jelly, he really just like shopped like a frat guy, basically.
Yeah.
It's not tampering down my attraction to him, I will say.
The mismatched clothes, I can't. Yeah. The blue hat, green shirt, weird pants, shoes, jacket.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I do love the beard. And I think he looked really good at the Harlem Nights party. I think he looked good. So
I'm a real beard slut. If you got like a little salt and pepper situation, I'm really into that as well. So
yeah, I agree. I'm same here.
So basically Meredith is still very activated and she's like, I'm gonna mention it all. Mm-hmm. I wasn't gonna do it before, but I'm gonna do it now. We're gonna talk about Jack Henry LLC. We're gonna talk about how there were FCC filings that you guys were soliciting money from people. We're gonna talk about how your company was at a loss. I'm gonna talk about how John is basically your assistant, Lisa, and how does he have a job? We wanna talk about people having jobs. What does John do? Which is a fair question.
Question.
I like this. Like, I like this version of Meredith, I gotta say.
I do too, but some of the claims I'm like, yeah, she's like a serial entrepreneur who probably has like tons of failed businesses, and I don't think anything she was saying is that scandalous if you just like watched a Shark Tank episode. You know, like if you have a little bit understanding of like how that world works, I think it's not really that crazy. It's not like Sonia Morgan who like has made money on a business she started like 8 years ago. Like there are worse business women in this world. And the fact that John Barlow is working for his wife is a flex on her because she's just like a boss who can order her husband around.
True. I mean, I will say that like the tea was not piping because once she said 2018, I was like, well, you know, highs and lows.
Yeah. Although I would be annoyed if I was the kids that like they named the LLC like after them. Like I would be like, now why am I in it? How did I get thrown in the stuff?
I ain't even did nothing. Right. Yeah, I'm totally with you. So, okay, Heather, then we get to the party. Heather finds a black man over 6'3" and is like, is he mine? Which I wish Heather would stop doing.
It's getting weird. And another needy quote, it's getting really weird.
Really weird.
Like seeing, and she's always going for these men who have like nicknames given to them by, you know, the black community. But like hearing yeah. on Heather, I'm like, I really prefer you not to call him Big Baby.
Right.
Like it just looks like weird to me.
Is that my big daddy? Like let's
gross. Like the optics
of it. Let's just get into the optics of that.
Like I want to be like Heather. If he was white, would you have said that? I just want to know. Right. Because it feels a little fetishy to me.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, we're gonna need to rein her in on that one.
She was doing an interview about talking how she's like had a prison bae before. She just has this like, I don't like this like weird culture, this like weird like fetishizing of like black men that she leans into so much. I don't know.
Yeah, and that she's like the good girl. And there's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
large men to take over her. I don't know. It's weird. It's very weird.
Right. Cults. Am I right?
There we go.
She's in a cult, so.
Jenman does a birthday speech for Coach Shaw, which was basically just like, thank everybody for standing with me while I am like two steps towards prison. Happy birthday. Thank you, Angie, for hosting. Bye. Everybody yeah. eat this disgusting. I mean, that cake, I don't know if you've got a good look at it, but it was
like, I did not.
Ugliest looking cake I've ever seen. It had black icing, but like the inside had like, you know that salad that they make in the Midwest, and it's just like marshmallows.
Oh yes. Oh my god. It yes. Like, I've had a church potluck before. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was like that salad mixed in with layers of cake. It looked absolutely disgusting. But you know what? Happy birthday, Coach Shaw.
Also, I always have an issue with black icing because you can't really eat it without looking like you just like ate like your teeth are just covered in
your teeth black, yeah
you know yeah. Like in a social situation it just doesn't really like work,
yeah, like you just inhale the whole thing of black and mild. It's really yeah. gross. Okay, so then John and Seth have this super awkward conversation where they're like trying to figure out if they can still be friends even though their wives hate each other, and it doesn't quite work. John really likes his tie,
right? Did you watch the rehearsal on HBO?
The rehearsal.
Did you watch it or no? You don't know what that is.
What is that?
So it's Nathan Fielder like rehearses scenes for people to practice in their real life.
No, so, I did not.
To me, Lisa Barlow, that's all she does with John Barlow. She just like sets up the party in their kitchen and is like, okay, so we're just gonna pretend that Seth comes up to you and we're gonna practice different versions of what you can say. Because like I felt like he was like, oh god, Seth's going off script. I don't know how to navigate this conversation. This is the one we practice. And then like later when Lisa is talking to Seth, John just keeps standing in the corner, like dead eye staring at them. He's like powered down.
Oh my god. Let's get into that. I mean, there was a quick thing where Whitney like proposes that they go on a trip, but I was thinking, is Jen allowed to? Because I read that affidavit and I thought that she was only allowed to go to states that, you know, were legally. Mm. Minded, if you will. Like she's only allowed to go to New York to talk to her lawyers. I didn't know that she was allowed to go to Arizona, but I guess we'll find out whether or not she is.
Maybe there, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure to be honest.
Okay, so then Lisa tries to go to Meredith, even though she just says we're not gonna have this conversation because it's Coach Shaw's birthday. Mm-hmm. Tries to have a conversation with Meredith. Meredith is like, no thank you. And then she immediately goes over to Seth and is like, Seth, can I hug you? Hi, are we okay? Can I talk to you right now immediately?
I just can't. I'm like, Lisa.
Like how awkward would that be? Like, what do you want from him? what do you want from him? Like, what did she expect? What was the expectation? Like, he's like, yeah, that was really fucked up. Not only did you say stuff about my wife, you said stuff about me. I didn't like it. Where did that come from? She's like, you know, I was also hurt. Not that it's anybody else's fault, but I was also hurting. And
we get a lot of that on Beverly Hills too, like where so it's like, but I'm going through stuff, and that's why I'm. That's never an excuse for bad behavior.
Agreed. I will be excusing Kathy for that later, but I agree with you in this moment.
Yes, no, but I'm referring more to Lisa Rinna being like, I can be a nightmare because I'm grieving, and it's like,
yes,
hey, well, like.
What do you want us to do with that? So Lisa keeps continuing, like, I was hurting. I have four sisters. I'm the head of my sisters. I love my family. I'm going through, nobody asked me what I'm going through. I'm going through a lot of stuff. And so, Seth, anything?
Right. It's like, okay, like, what do you want from us, lady?
Seth basically walks away, and then she says in a confessional, you know, I can apologize until I'm blue in the face, but if nobody wants to accept it, then that's, you know, I've got to move on. It's like, well, you apologized one time, and right. You talked about your sisters, and I don't know what to do with that. Nobody knows what to do with that, Lisa.
She really is. She has no concept of time. Like, time, she's not patient. Like, she could afford a little patience, because I think a lot of situations would heal themselves if she just, like, let people breathe for a little bit. But she's just, like, helicopter.
Right.
You know?
Right. And Meredith brought up a point where she's like, you know, Lisa had a couple months to say something to me, and she hasn't, like, clearly suggesting that Lisa's only apologizing because they're on camera.
Right.
And she was on Watch What Happens Live, and Lisa said that she tried to reach out to Meredith or tried to speak to her, and Meredith blanked her, basically, and she just got the impression to back off, and that's why they hadn't spoken in 2 months.
Yeah, but Meredith is, I think Meredith can be a bit unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and she's stubborn. So I don't know how they ever really worked as friends, to be quite honest with you. Like,
I should mention the point that Lisa said she tried to do this right after the reunion. So this was, like, right after she found out about she's a whore, she fucked half in New York.
Right, because they filmed that.
Yeah, fair to say that Meredith might want a little bit of a break.
And so apparently they picked up filming, like, pretty much immediately after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this might have been filmed, this party, while the reunion was even airing.
Yeah.
Like, that's how quickly they started back up again.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Because this show ended not that long ago.
No.
Like, I think the reunion was in March or February.
Right. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Ugh. Okay, let's move on to Beverly Hills. I'm like, foaming at
the mouth. I have so many opinions.
Oh, my God. Okay, let's just take a healing breath and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
We start off with Dorit and Kyle FaceTiming.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle's still in Atlanta filming Halloween, Everybody Dies Except for Jamie Lee Curtis, or whatever it's called. And Dorit's telling her about Crystal's birthday party, about Lisa leaving early, and what Erica thinks, that, like, it might have something to do with Kathy. Kyle says in a confessional that before they left for Austin, Lisa kind of told her what happened. She basically was just, like, kind of vague, but, like, enough to tell her Kathy was talking a lot of shit. Most of it was about you, Kyle, but I don't want to upset you, so I'm not going to tell you. What do you think about that?
There's a level of, like, protecting friends, right, where you're like, I'm not going to address, like, I think there's a fine line where there are things worth talking about and there are things that just aren't worth it. To me, this whole thing could have just not been worth it.
Yeah.
But she is going to everyone being like, I think there's a world in which she just could have just not said anything and they could have just, like, addressed why she was in such a weird place on the trip. And then, like, maybe later Lisa could be like, do you really want to know what happened? She's walking around town telling literally everyone that this woman is crazy. She's calling Radar online, telling them shit and positive that. And so then to be like, she said crazy shit about you, so I'm gonna go tell everyone else but not you. That's not really being a good friend. That's just like
yeah,
hot even more. Which
I agree, and it's just making things
I never work. Understand why Kyle wants to be Lisa's friend, but we can get to that.
Like, listen, or anybody, frankly. Yeah, I mean, I think it obviously only makes things worse when you're like, somebody said something about you, but I'm not going to tell you because it was so bad. You're only right. going to think like the worst possible case scenario, right. which I think is like a really bad friend on Lisa's end to Kyle. So then Kyle says that she doesn't want to get to the point of no return with Kathy. So maybe it's best that she doesn't know what she said. Okay, fine. So then we get to Erica. Erica has a therapist meeting, and I want to know why, out of all the therapists in LA, she chose that lady from VH1. Do you know who this lady is?
Yes, but I also think there's like a just circle of therapists that are willing to go on camera.
There's like three of them.
Yeah. That man in Atlanta that's like on on Married to Medicine and Housewives. He's that one that like worked with Nene. Like, mm-hmm. Isn't Ray and Karen's therapist someone who is from somewhere else too? Or I don't know. I think we've had many therapists cross franchises because there's only a few that are willing to do it.
There's like some sort of league of reality TV therapists, and yeah, there's like seven of them, and they make the rounds, and they're everywhere. They are everywhere. Yeah. That man who looks like Arthur has been in my television for years.
That's the one.
And I'm sick of him. So I will say that Dr. Jen did like give some pretty good advice, and everybody said, and I want to know if you agree, that if Erica had just said this the entire time, then she wouldn't be in the position that she was in. So Erica starts off by saying that like this year is actually worse for her than last year, and that she wants to start moving on. And Dr. Jen talks about like, you need to go through the grieving process. Like, you need to grieve the loss of Tom, the relationship that you thought you had, the fact that you thought you could depend on him, and that he wasn't being the husband that you wanted him to be even before all this legal stuff.
Right.
So Erica describes Tom as magic, which, you know, that's a word choice.
I hate magic. Magicians like are weird to me. And describing people as magic, I'm like,
the whole concept. What?
It gives spells, and spells give cult energy to me. I'm like, why are you like casting spells on people? Like, he actually did. Maybe he is magic because he did cast a spell on you to convince you that he was a good husband to you.
Truly, truly. So even though he's magic, Erica says that he would flip on a dime. And I swear to you, if we don't have to watch those scenes of him being like, Erica, please, please don't interrupt me again. It'll be a day too soon. I mean, truly, I can't watch these three scenes anymore.
No.
So Dr. Jen tells Erica, like, you need to be in the mind frame that people are going to come for you, mm-hmm. and you just need to accept that, yes, you do. And stop trying to fight people for, like, rightfully having critiques of your behavior. And then Erica asks her, how long is this going to last? And Dr. Jen says, it's going to last the shortest when you accept it.
Take it.
And the longest when you fight it, which, exactly, girl. So, like, please stop telling people to kiss your labia on Instagram. That'll help.
And saying on national television that your crook of a husband is magic is not, like, like helping the case. Like, you're, like, double downing on his, like, his charisma. I'm like, what?
Right. Like, not at any point has she ever, like, put him down. And I think that's very weird.
Well, I think there's a whole daddy issue thing with him and her where, like...
You think?
I think he really... Well, yes. But he kind of became the father that she never had.
Yeah.
And, yeah. like, in kind of the parent that she never had. Because I don't believe her... She has like that great of a relationship with her mother either. Cause her mom was on the show for that season for a little bit. And then like, but it was weird.
Yeah. She always acts like her mom was like really hard on her.
Yeah. So I think he is like the only family she has ever had. And it's hard for her to put perspective on who he really was.
Well, that's her problem.
That makes me sound like I'm defending her, but I'm not. I think he's an awful person, but she's got a lot of complicated things she needs to work through with him. So.
Yeah. You have a great point, but it's like she never talks about that, and she should.
Well, she would never, though. She's too guarded. She thinks.
Yeah.
Those people annoy me so much. People, they're like, I'm an open book. Like, I am so down to talk about anything. And you're like, you're almost not. Like, anyone who's willing to just say that, it looks sounds like you're protecting yourself from something.
Yeah, it's a lot of projection.
Yeah.
I'm with you. So then Erica has an event for her weave line. And I just want to know, like, what do you think Mikey is getting paid at this point?
$0 to $10. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, which does he just get to dig through old swag bags? Does he like get a stray Starbucks credit gift card or something? Like, what's going on with Mikey?
I think yes to all the above. I mean, anything that's not paper, because he's not making cash money from any of these things.
The Chuck E. Cheese dollars, yeah, something like that.
Yes.
So this weave stuff was like boring, but not. It definitely set the scene. So first, we're like finally finding more details about what happened in Aspen. Erica makes note to mention that there have been a lot of details coming out through the media, and she's not sure how that's possible. How is possible that everybody knows all this shit? But
I wonder how.
Yeah. I wonder how. I just want to note that if you look, they did make a lot of note to mention Erica's publicist that was walking around. And I think, you know, we might want to just jot that down as a possible potential option.
Source.
Yeah. So then Erica starts out by saying that Kathy was screaming in the DJ's face. She was going ham at the coat check. She was cussing Kyle out. And Elton John appears. Elton John appears out of nowhere via FaceTime.
What a grab bag of situations we've got in this episode.
Why did we not have Sutton and Lisa get up to the FaceTime with Diana and let's figure out this Elton John Foundation?
Hello? Can we just call it a wrap on that?
Please. I would have liked some conclusions on that one.
Yeah.
Diana tells a story about how she's like some weirdo who's in fine China and that's why she's friends with Elton John. Okay. I don't
care. Fine. Rich people problems. I mean, like, what? I don't care. Billionaire problems.
I screamed when the editors showed that like quick clip of Dorit and Lisa when she was talking about her Tom Ford suit and she's like, I rented it, you can get anything if you rent it, and I just felt like that was shade on the editor's part.
Completely.
I really, really loved it. Okay, so then Lisa begins this like PTSD poor me behavior with Dorit about Kathy, and Dorit says that she actually spoke to Kathy on the phone. Kathy was super apologetic.
Mm-hmm.
Was planning on showing up and being apologetic, and Dorit's like, you know, this is more about Kyle and Kathy than anybody else, which is something that Lisa should have taken note on. This is about two sisters and not you, Rinna, but more on that later. So then Lisa says that Kathy needs to apologize to her, and then she says that Kathy was trying to silence her, and then we see this text message where Kathy is just like, please don't say anything that we discussed. You know, I don't want everybody to be dragged into this stuff. It's going to be no bueno. But yeah. She spelled bueno wrong.
Which I like. I like that.
I loved it too.
It's a little nuance.
Lisa refers to this as a veiled threat on Kathy's part. Excuse me?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
We're giving Kathy too much. We're just building something out of nothing, right? Like, we're giving Kathy too much credit here. Like, she's not as calculated as you think she is.
Like, Lisa's acting like she woke up with a horse head in her bed. Like,
it's not Lisa Vanderpump we're dealing with here. Like, like, Lisa Vanderpump is calculated, right? Like, and has done crazy shit.
Yeah.
But Kathy Hilton doesn't know what who's a cameraman, who's a producer, who's a part of the cast. Like, she's just like living life.
She can't even tell her own sister from Garcelle. Like,
how are we expected this woman is calculated? And her saying silence is golden to Rinna. All that is she's like, I vented last night. I went way too hard on these ladies. So can we please just keep that between us?
Exactly.
That's all it is. I'm sure Rinna has done the same thing to other people when the cameras are down.
Can we, like, what was that text message that she sent to Cam or something? It was like, I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Yes. I mean, crazy. Rinna, yeah, well, yeah. Well, I have a couple more things about Rinna, but late, I'm gonna get to them later.
Okay. So then they bring up how Kathy went on Instagram Live with some person from E! Entertainment. And Lisa keeps acting like Kathy lied. But she says that Kathy lied about being alone in the house in Aspen. But what Kathy said is, I was left by myself at the house at one point, which is true, because Lisa locked herself in the bedroom. So yeah.
And then also everyone literally left the next morning and left her there alone.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that may be what she's talking about. Because like when she was like, Rick, come get me on Instagram, I believe that was not in the middle of the night. That was like, I thought in the morning, the next day. Yeah. She's just like in Kyle's house, like, why is everyone gone?
Mauricio's walking around with his shirt off, like smoking weed in the house. Like, come get me, Rick, please. So then the ladies gather to discuss about what happened in Aspen. So apparently it started, they were at the club, Kathy requests Billie Jean, and I would like to let the record reflect that Lisa flip-flops so hard in this scene, because at first she was like, she requested Billie Jean, and Crystal has to bring up the point that it's like a little problematic these days to be, requesting Michael Jackson in the club.
Right.
That in itself is a very controversial conversation. We don't need to have it. Like,
no, it's not worth having.
We don't need to get into it. So then she acts like she was like, oh my God, that was so scandalous. But then Cherie says, oh, I love Billie Jean. And Lisa's like, yeah, me too. I love that song. So like, which one is it, girl?
She doesn't have 2 feet to stand on. She's just following. She's like always following. She's like, how can I make sure I'm on their side? So she's just like, yeah, you're right. It's. She doesn't have to take a stance about anything.
First year improv, yes and. Like, she's just going wherever the wind blows. It's completely really wild. So then they have this discussion as to either the manager or the DJ told Kathy to just go back to LA. And then Diana gets into this weird thing about how Kathy should know the game. And then she starts talking about how Diana gave the DJ $200 because they were waiting on their drinks and they weren't coming fast enough. So she paid this guy. And Diana's like, you know, Kathy's been in this game longer than anybody. She's born into it. And I like how Erica was like, well, she married into it. We all did. Let's be honest. But
they all did. Yeah.
I don't know what Diana was saying has any relevance to the situation.
I cannot stand that woman.
She's a real waste of a salary.
I will say. Give Kim Richards her salary, please.
Please. Please. Need
her on the show.
Kim Richards should get that $2 million check that Ren is asking for.
Yes.
She deserves.
Retroactively, honestly.
Truthfully. Give her $2 million for every season that she's been off, and we'll talk from there, okay? Yes. Oh, I miss her. I miss her so much. Kim is so necessary. And I know she really should not be on the show, but she does. She needs to be on the show.
No, she needs to be on the show. And I don't know if you saw, but supposedly Andy on his radio show today or yesterday was talking about how he had just gotten off a big conference call with a housewife who they're trying to get to come back onto a franchise.
I heard that, and
I don't know who it is because I can't picture Kim Richards in a conference call, but... it's giving kind of Lisa Vanderpump, to be honest with you.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense given like Garcelle was filming with her, and
or Vicky, but Vicky also would not need a conference call. She'd just be like, "Yeah, I'm done.
Please." Yeah. Just a quick text, like, "You up?" And Vicky would be like, she's probably got a mic pack in her closet. Like, it's already ready. I stole it from the reunion that I was last at, and I'm ready. Yep. It's been charging since 2020. It's got to be LVP, Kim, or Phaedra. Phaedra would be my other guess.
Yeah, but I really don't think that's going to happen. Not in Atlanta.
I don't think it should. I appreciate what Phaedra did during Girls Trip, but like, that's enough. Goodbye. I don't need Phaedra back.
And the thing I relearned about Phaedra in Girls Trip is she's very guarded. She's not a very, mm-hmm. she's not good at reality TV on like airing at all.
Yeah. Because
like when her life did start to unfold, she was just like a shell and didn't know how to navigate and was mean and did crazy shit, right? Like when... Right. On Girls Trip, when they were asking her about this guy, she was so cagey about it. It was so weird. Mm-hmm. And I forgot about that part of her where she can be so guarded that we don't need that.
I agree.
Need someone. Sometimes it's hard when you bring people back because you hype them up too much.
Exactly. Exactly. You get it. We see each other on this one. Thank you. So then Cherie chimes in and says that when she got to Kemosabe, and I hope I never have to say those words again, the hat store, that Kathy was outside and she was super agitated. Mm-hmm. And then Lisa makes this big show of, oh my gosh, like this is some sort of like Bobsey Twins breakthrough that she had. And it's like in a confessional, like, this leads me to believe that Kathy was actually agitated much earlier in the day. And I think maybe it started with me ordering that Kardashian Jenner drink.
No shit, Sherlock.
Like, you crazy bitch. And then she says, Kathy is jealous of the Kardashians. First of all of you are jealous of the Kardashians.
Rinna.
Rinna.
Rinna. Oh my
like,
God.
Can we like just go back to what last season when she was creaming her jeans at the mere mention of the Kardashians so she could bring up the fact that her teenage daughter was dating Scott Disick? Like,
she would do anything to marry off her kids into that family, like literally Game of Thrones style.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. So, I mean,
Kathy's daughter is Paris Hilton, who gave Kim Kardashian her relevance.
Let's talk about it. Okay.
What are we doing here? Like, Kim Kardashian would be nowhere without Paris.
Nikki is married to a Rothschild. Like, what the fuck does she care?
To Kathy, this show is like she's doing community theater.
Yeah.
Like, Brenna, this show for you is everything. So, like, sit back, look at it from the wide shot, and you're going to be a little disturbed on how your life has unfolded yourself, Brenna.
Thank you. Like, the fact that she keeps bringing up that family, and keeps bringing up jealousy. Like, first of all, you guys are in your 50s and 60s. Like, literally push me off the Brooklyn Bridge if I have to be jealous of somebody at 55. Like, I'd rather die.
Like, what?
I would really rather die. So then Lisa like kind of mentions, well, okay, she doesn't tell the girls, but we hear it in like these confessionals, right? So first she says that Kathy groups Sutton and Crystal together, and we're basically saying that like they're pieces of shit. They need to be fired. Why are they on the show? Mm-hmm. She said Dorit was a stupid, useless idiot, which I've had a feeling.
Yeah.
I've had a feeling that Kathy hasn't liked Dorit. So like none of this is really surprising to me.
No, none of it is. That's the part that is that's making it hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, because Rinna, I think, thought that this was the biggest shit that has happened in this franchise in so long. And I'm like, everything you say is flopping so hard.
So hard. So hard.
Yeah.
Then she says that Kathy went into a barrage of like, I can't believe that I have to be around these peons. I don't like these people. Why do I have to be with them? They need to go away. I have to do everything around here. This is my show. I've got big deals over at NBC and I'll fucking ruin Kyle. Okay.
Here's the thing, my overall issue with this is I'm sure she said all of it, and guess what? These, not one or two episodes ago, Kyle was talking about how as kids, Kim and Kathy, they would all like bite each other till they bled.
Yeah.
Kyle has sat in a limo on national television and outed her daughter as an alcoholic.
Yeah. Like,
these women, there is a very specific bond that sisters have, and it can be very fraught. And my sister and I don't have that. I, once again, I'm not a woman, but like we have a very close relationship, and we never really fight, but like I've been present for a lot of friends who get in fights with their siblings and say some of this darkest shit about each other, and then the next day they're just like hugging and laughing and pretending everything's fine. And I'm not saying that that's healthy, but a lot of people navigate the world that way, and like Kyle, Kim, and Kathy do that. They've all interchangeably stopped speaking to each other for years on end. So when you hear these things that Kathy said about her, it's like, of course she said them. No one's surprised by that. But what you're doing is using it as a way to kind of, Rinna's trying to use it as a way to break down the audience's view on Kathy, because I think she fully is so angry that Kathy stole the show last year in an unexpected twist. Like
a 1,000%
becoming.
1,000%.
This side of her is like shocking to her, and she wants to reveal it. But I'm like, when she's like pushing therapy on her, all this stuff, it's like, you should also be actually pushing therapy on your friend Kyle, who has done really dark shit to her sister as well.
Right. And like to act like Kathy's jealous because Mauricio had the agency or she did American Woman. It's like, no, Kyle did some bullshit behind her back, and Kathy might feel some type of way about that. And that's understandable. Like Mauricio stole clients, and Kyle's trying to cash off their history, their family history. And we all know how dark Big Kathy is. Little Kathy more than anybody. So that's probably why she was like, don't put this shit on TV. Like, this is going to be bad. So their dynamic is such that like, it's not any of Lisa's business.
No.
Not at all. It's weird. It's very weird. Because especially when Lisa says that out of all the people that Kathy went off on, she and Garcelle fared better than anybody. So like, why are you taking all of this so personally?
Right. And you are literally, you are patient zero here. You destroyed Kim Richards on national television. Like, she should be saying shit about you.
Right. And she did. And we'll get into it.
Yeah, well, she did. She did later. But I just mean like, in that breath, like you should feel lucky you got away scot-free, because the rest of them haven't done anywhere near the amount of bullshit that you've pulled with her own family members.
I agree. And like, let's be real. I'm sure at this point, every housewife talks shit about their cast members, and you know, it's just like part of it, you know, at some point somebody's going to say something wild. So Crystal says in a confessional that she spoke to Kathy. Kathy fully admitted to losing her temper and going off about Kyle, but she didn't say anything to Crystal about her saying anything else about anybody in the group.
Right.
And then a producer asked Crystal, do you believe Kathy or Lisa? She's like, I believe Kathy. I believe Kathy. And then Lisa does another hypocritical thing of asking, why isn't Kathy here at this party? When Kathy showed up to Crystal's birthday party and Lisa's like, why is she here? I can't believe she's here. That's so weird. Now you're like, why isn't she here? I can't believe she's not here. That's so weird. Like, which one is it, girl?
It's, she doesn't, she's spineless, Lisa Rinna. She really is.
Truly, truly. And then Lisa says the funniest thing that she's ever said and will ever say in her whole life. She looks at everybody and says, I've been sending blessings and prayers to Kathy through my heart and through your face and through meditation. And, you know, this has been really difficult for me. Blessings and prayers.
Queen Sutton, I love her so much. And she was like, does Lisa Rinna pray?
Does she pray?
God, I love her so much.
Erica had the nerve to tell Lisa, you're so evolved. And Lisa goes, I am.
And then they cut the sun and she's like, huh? Sutton and I are not similar in a lot of ways, but those moments, like, I'm very bad at hiding my face. So I too am like, huh?
One more time. Let's take all of this in. Oh my God. Okay. So then we get to Kyle's house. Kathy shows up to talk. But before she walks into that door, she rips out a flower in Kathy's face, in Kyle's face. And then Kathy decides, like, at what point in the car did she think, like, I'm just going to go full cowboy in a way to disarm my sister?
As we learned in Salt Lake City, cowgirls are forever.
You know what? Thank you for tying it all together. Kathy's like, you know, I just came in from the Ponderosa all the way from Cartwright City to apologize. So Kyle's like, what? Excuse me? she says that, like, outside of a few texts, she hasn't really talked to Kathy since they left Aspen. So then they sit down. Kathy's given her bracelets away. Like, she's really feeling very bad about what she said. Like, that's clear.
But something that I'm frustrated with this whole scene is that Bravo pitched this storyline to us and all the trailers and all this stuff. Like, Kathy was denying that this happened.
Yeah.
And that Rinna and Kyle teamed up on Kathy in this awful fight, right? But then when we see it play out, Kathy's literally saying, I did do that.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry. Like, I'm not myself right now. I'm losing my mind. Like, I was drunk. I was mad. And I just said the wrong things to the wrong person. And I'm really so sorry. And I found that they got to such a positive place at the end of that chat.
You would think.
But it makes me mad that Bravo did them so dirty. I wish they just never shown that sit down.
Yeah, they really, like, in the trailer made it seem like this was going to be the Kathy takedown season. But, like, we were all going to be on the side of whoever Kathy was opposing. Right. It's not like that at all. So yeah, like you said, like, Kathy apologizes immediately and she's like, you know, I vented, I didn't think it would get back to you. And then she explains her side of things. She's like, you know, exactly what I thought, was that Kyle kept talking about her outfits and, like, the grocery store bag that she bought. And she's like, hey, you know, I'm pretty casual in Aspen, but, like, at some point you kept going on and on about it, and I started to feel insecure. And then Kyle immediately was like, why are you putting this on me? Like, I have to apologize. And it's like, well, because you were being a jerk. And that's, like, part one. And I also don't think Kathy was asking for an apology. She was just, like, explaining I was feeling a little bit sensitive, right?
Right.
And then Kyle tries to act like, you know, I didn't really even say anything that bad. And, you know, I can joke. Kathy makes all these jokes at other people's expenses all the time. And, like, when it's her, she feels some type of way. It's like she hid your purse from you for, like, 30 seconds. That's not really the same as, like, hey, Diana, look at how stupid my sister looks. It's not really the same
thing. That in itself, though, is siblings to me. So it doesn't, like, I'm not even mad at Kyle for that. It's just, like, you are blind to certain things as siblings. Like, you're like, we just pick fun at each other, and like it's light banter. It's just like they're, I think that's kind of their love language, to be honest, with each other. It's just like poking, you know.
Yeah, I think Kyle definitely thinks that that's the equivalent. Like, she thinks that when Kathy hides her purse, it's like a personal jab that Kathy's doing. Like, right, Kathy's just trying to be funny. And yeah, she thinks that what they're doing is equal, and it's not. But yeah, I'm totally with you. So then, you know, she was like, listen, I was overtired, angry, stupid, one glass of wine, two glasses of wine, altitude. I'm sorry. Also,
that's not true. She had like three martinis before they went to that club. She was drinking dirty martinis. I remember seeing them.
I truly love that. Oh my God. Kyle keeps talking about how hurt she was. And then I was like, okay, here's where we're having a real conversation, because Kathy's like, you know, we never really have time to like sit down and like really talk to each other. And then Kathy's like, I can't get a hold of you. I call you to the point where I'm starting to feel like a pest and annoying to you. And I just think you should make time for your family. And Kyle says, I do make time for my husband and my kids. Like, whoa, okay. Well,
but to Kyle's point, like, I think there are just so many and we don't know all the ins and outs necessarily, but like, I think there's just been a lot that's happened that we'll never totally understand
for sure.
And so she, I think, has had to create her own family, an own new family, because her family is not the family that it's, they're not supportive, they're not of each other, and they all do it to each other. Like, they just have a very messed up relationship. So like, she has to set boundaries with them.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But I think Kathy's one of these people that wishes that her, Kim, and Kyle like all slept in the same bed together every night forever. You know what I mean?
Like that's wearing matching pajamas. Yeah.
Right. That's the type of like sibling I see Kathy as, where Kyle like has been hurt by them in many ways and needs space, but they don't know how to. Kim and Kathy, I think, don't know how to understand like space.
Yeah, I mean, clearly Kathy's somebody who would just like want to be sweet and put like a lot of thick frosting over the situation and like keep pushing, but like it's too far gone at that point. We can't keep doing this. And yeah, I mean, Kyle talks about how Kathy calls her, but she'll text her first and it's like, hey, I need to talk to you about something important. Then Kyle gets all anxious because she thinks it's something big, and then Kathy's just like complaining, and she just doesn't want to do that. She's upset that Kathy's not asking about Halloween and her other whatever else that Kyle does. I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know what you want from her though. Like, you wouldn't want to tell her about Halloween, like if she asked.
Yeah. And here's my other thing is like, Kyle was talking about how, you know, once I lost my parents, I just figured I would never have anybody who like poured into me or encouraged me and stuff. And it's like, well, does Mauricio do that? Like, why is this all on Kathy?
Yeah.
Why is this all her responsibility?
I feel like he does support her. I just think she.
Yeah.
I think Kyle is one of those people that can never be satisfied.
And
then like family members, like I think she'll always have a note for a friend.
I fully agree because
she's with everyone.
I fully agree. And I think like Kathy just calls and vents because that's what sisters do. Like, I call my sister all the time to complain, and you know, I'll check up on whatever the hell she's doing after that. Like, I don't know. I just think that like it's just more sister behavior that they're not on the same page about. And so, I mean, listen, Kathy did eat crow and is like, listen, I'm proud of you. You work so hard. I love you so much. Like, if this is what you need, I can do that.
Right.
But I don't think that like Kathy simply calling to vent to Kyle is a reason to cut her off some communication.
No.
This seems extreme. But yeah, I mean, it also lends credence to the fact that like these rivers run so deep with those three, like, you know, there's never going to be like a clear-cut answer or solution to any of this.
Never.
Like, ever. So
we'll never get there.
Never. Where is Dr. Jen when you need her? Is she still on Erica's computer? Please.
Or that Arthur figure. What's his name?
Arthur? I don't know.
Yeah,
Dr. Arthur. Sutton invites Erica over for Popeyes. I don't really give a shit about this.
Nothing really happened. They tried to pretend that they're... Erica is all talk. Like, she is. I really don't think she's as vicious as she says she is, because she's just hot-tempered, you know? I feel like I'm defending her so much. I don't agree with her at all. And she needs to stop. The fact that victims is a trigger word for her is disturbing in itself. So she's bringing that up with Dr. Jen.
Yeah.
The B word. That is your trigger word. For me, if I were you, my trigger word would be Tom.
Or convicted.
Yeah.
Guilty.
Or earrings.
Who knows?
$10 million. Yeah. Millions, maybe.
Oh my God. Misappropriation.
Yeah.
That would be a hard word for me. Okay, so Kathy and Kyle do make up, but then Kyle's like, oh, Lisa's coming over and you can stay if you want. I just want to say, like, this was my mind, because Lisa walked in and I thought, oh my God, she looks exactly like Andy Warhol. And then I noticed that Kyle had a gigantic Andy Warhol picture on her wall. And I thought, you know, I knew that. I knew.
Wait, really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it was like one of the, I don't even know how to describe it, but yes, it was Andy Warhol. And you know what? The resemblance was uncanny. I really got that.
And I feel like we haven't gotten Rinna back to the bones like we did here with that hair.
Right.
She's always got wigs on. So it was like, I was like, oh, we're going like all natural today with your hair helmet.
Yeah, that's the official Rinna wig. Lisa comes in. She says in a confessional, Kathy is wearing that same peace sign t-shirt.
I did laugh at this.
When she had that psychotic break in Aspen. Can you believe that?
I that was so funny to me, because I didn't realize that. But that is hilarious to me.
The fact that she even remembered that. Like, girl, you were clocking everything.
I would actually kind of remember it, to be honest with you, because it's an ugly shirt on Kathy.
It is an ugly shirt. Yeah. But, well... now that you mention it, you're right.
I'd be like, oh, she's wearing that old Navy peace shirt again.
So, like, Lisa's like, what did you guys talk about? Not that that's any of your damn business, ma'am. But Kathy's like, listen, I just apologized to Kyle for what happened in Aspen, and I want to apologize to you. You know, I didn't take into consideration that you were in a tough spot. You just lost your mom. And Lisa then says, you know, I'm just shook because I've never seen anybody act like that. Like, did you not watch your scenes from Amsterdam?
Doesn't understand how she comes across. Like, she's so justified in all of her nonsense. And it's just crazy. Like, she does the meanest things.
So mean. So, so mean. So then Lisa says, you know, I just feel like you really need to take some responsibility for some of the things that you've said. You know, you've said things about everybody and not just Kyle. And she has this like husky, slow soap opera voice. Like, I'm very serious right now. And like, I need you to understand, because I'm dealing with I'm talking in a hushed tone because I'm with like a rabid animal and I don't know if you're going to scratch my eyes out at any point. So
yeah.
Then she's like, you know, you've said some big fucking things, and I don't want to say that you need help, Kathy, but I think you need help. Kathy's like, are you fucking serious
right now? Rinna, coming from the woman who just screamed at Sutton at a dinner table for a charity, and then not 5 seconds later was like, I'm screaming because I'm grieving. I'm like, you need to be in therapy. You need to be in therapy.
What about her screaming, like, don't anybody come to my family? Like, what was that? That came out of nowhere.
Just because it was on camera doesn't make it better.
Right. Oh, my God.
But you know what? I think that's the core of her issue, is that she will do anything on camera and not everyone will.
Oh, 100%.
Like, that's it bothers her that Kathy flipped and there were not cameras around, because she's like, I've been flipping all season and it's been on camera every single fucking time.
Yeah. And she's been trying to like drop hints that something happened so that Kathy will say something. Like, I fully believe that Lisa left Crystal's party because she didn't think that Kathy was going to be there, and that was going to be her opportunity to like wind everybody up about what was said. And then when she couldn't do that because Kathy showed up, she's like, well, I'm just going to pretend like I have PTSD and leave. Like, her plan failed, and she was like, well, I can't do this, so I'm just gonna go. So then Lisa asked Kathy if she's trying to shut her up, and Kathy's like, no, but I think you can be unkind, I will say that. And so Lisa goes, oh, are we gonna go there?
Go where, Lisa?
Go where? She's so stupid. So then Lisa goes, you know, it's not about me right now, this is about you. And then she says in a confessional, we're in the same position we were in 8 years ago. But it's like, we aren't. You are.
You are. And you created that. Like, you are, you didn't have to feud with either of them.
No.
Like
hello, girl.
Going through something and you decided to make fun of her for being, in Kathy's words, I mean, in Lisa Rinna literally said in her own words, Kim is on the verge of death.
Death.
And she expects these people to just forgive that?
Right.
Like, of course Kim hates you. I'm shocked Kathy and Kyle aren't just spitting on your fucking feet.
And the fact that Kyle's just sitting there, like, letting these two go back and forth with each other as though they're equal. And she does say, like, Kathy, you're my sister, and I think of you guys, Lisa and Dorit or whoever the fuck, as also sisters. No. No. That's, like, it's not different. The same. Like, I don't care if you guys, you and Kathy, are not in a good place, there's still a very distinct difference. And like, the fact that you are putting this on equal playing field is like actually pretty lame, Kyle. But
it'd be different if Kathy was estranged and like Kathy was not there. Like, you're sitting next to your sister who you actively have a relationship with. Like, you have to defend her
and just made up with. So like, tell Lisa to shut the hell up.
I will say, it looks like we're getting a bit of that in the finale.
Yes.
I want to know, like, what is going on here?
I want to talk about what I heard right before this too. So
okay,
at the end. So then Kathy starts to get upset and she's crying and she's telling them that like she's got a friend with terminal cancer. Kyle doesn't even know, mm-hmm. but she's going through stuff as well. And you know, she says, I'm sorry again. Oh. And then she says, Kathy says, you know, for 30 years, I've not really had issues like this. Your daughter did, but that's okay. We can move on. You're just talking about yourself. But, you know, for 30 years, I've not had problems with people like this. And Lisa goes, why are you looking at me like that? And then Kathy says, because you're looking at me like I have some sort of big problem and I need you to have a little compassion. Like, you're looking at me like I need to go off to a loony bin. And this is weird. It's really weird. So then Lisa says, I'm sorry, Kathy, but you're not going to get away with this with me. You can have your tears. You can do what you're going to do, but you did what you did. And you're not going to gaslight and manipulate me right now because I'm trying to gaslight and manipulate you. She goes, you know, if you want to apologize to me, let's talk about what you really did and some of the names that you called people. We'll go there if you want to. What does this have to do with you, Lisa?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She's scrambling. She wants Kathy to look bad on camera. This is all she's trying to do, and it's not working, and she can feel it.
I hope she can feel
Kathy's
it.
Owning it. Kathy literally said this whole episode was just like, I was a dick.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, did Lisa genuinely think that, like, Kathy would just leave the show or that she would not apologize? Like, whatever her expectation is, like, she failed on every level. Every single
flop,
one.
Flop, flop.
Flop, flop behavior. Flop, flop, flop.
Yeah.
So then Lisa asked Kathy, do you remember what happened? And I hate when people do that. I hate when people are like, you had one drink. Do you even remember what happened the night before? Like,
super.
Shut up. I hate when people do that. Kathy's like, yeah, I do. So then Lisa goes, did you know that I locked myself in my bedroom? And Kathy's like, no, I didn't. So then Lisa goes, well, do you know why I locked myself in my bedroom? She's like, well, I just said that I didn't know that you were in there. So no, I also wouldn't know why. And then she's like, you were having a psychotic break of some kind. Like, it was really out of control. So Kathy says in a confessional, just iconic behavior, I can't imagine anybody that would scare Lisa Rinna. And then she starts laughing and she goes, I'm just constantly reminded of the situation with Lisa that with my sister Kim, she got physical. Yeah. Yeah. So then Lisa tells Kathy that she's angry. You're angry at this beautiful sister of yours. Okay. And Kathy's like, okay, I didn't handle myself well. I'm not proud of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you. Kyle finally speaks up and she's like, you know, Kathy's my sister, but you guys are like sisters to me too. And I just don't want to be in the middle of the situation. Kathy apologizes again to Lisa and says, I don't want to be in the situation. So then Lisa's like, you know, I just want to know where this hatred comes from. You know, you've got to figure that out and you have to figure out why you have a black heart. What is it, Kathy? What is it, Kathy?
I would have been like, while we're here, why do you have a black heart?
Right. What? Why do you wear turtlenecks all the time, Rena? Why do you insist on looking like Elton John from 1972? We have questions. I've got questions for you too. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she just, it really did not land in the way that she thought.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So then Kathy gets up and is like, I'm not doing this with you. I'm leaving. And Kyle says in a confessional, you know, I can tell that Kathy's trying to keep her cool, but I also feel like Lisa's kind of pushing it. So Kyle goes back over to Lisa and she's like, I'm looking for my life to be less complicated. Lisa clearly did not pick up on that.
No.
She's like, you know, something needs to be worked out between you two. Yeah, it just was before you walked in and you ruined it. She's like, you know, whatever, like, you can't just act like everything's good because it's not. And, you know, Kathy really needs to do some serious soul searching or talking to somebody, because I don't think anything will get better unless it does. What?
And
what?
Her thought process makes zero sense to me.
Not at all. And yeah, to talk about the preview, it seems like Kyle's finally being like, why is it that Lisa's so involved? Why is it that every time we go somewhere, there are very detailed bits of information that make it onto radar online? How is that possible? This is getting weird. And I'm thrilled. I heard today that Kyle and Rinna really got into it at the reunion, mm-hmm. and that they're not talking anymore.
Love that.
And then it got like real nasty.
I love that, because that's how it should be. Because that's the right side of history.
I agree.
Bad. And Kyle does not need to be friends with someone who continues to go on these tirades about her sister.
Like, can you imagine having somebody in your life who was like trying to be the middle person between you and Kix? Like,
it'd be why? So weird. I'd just be like, why are you so obsessed with us?
Right. Like, so weird.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine, like, even thinking that's appropriate or wanting to do it. And like, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
No, it's weird. It's like, why, like, Mariah Carey, why are you so obsessed with me? Like, you just like, but then there are levels of Rinna and sisters that I think there's trauma, because she lost her sister, and mm-hmm. I think that there are some things that she needs to look at deeply in therapy about her issues with family and relationships and things like that, because there's a lot there. It's weird to me that of all the people to come at on this show, you've wanted to take down this woman's, both of her siblings.
Right.
Like that's not something that someone does. Like, that's not a coincidence, I should say.
Not at all. And I
whether really she gets the strategy or not, I don't know, but I just think that there's more there. So
yeah, like what do you think that Rinna's end game is with this?
I don't know. I just think that she likes to manipulate, and it's how she gets off, and she thinks that she really thinks she's the queen of the show, and like can feel it slipping from her grasp, and so she goes for an easy target, and that's Kathy.
I agree. I just like, I don't understand, like, I don't know. Is this like single white female, like just trying to isolate Kyle from everybody?
No, I
just don't understand, like, to what end? Like, what are you getting out of this? I really don't know. Other than like, maybe I'm being too paranoid, but she's like, okay, Kyle's really like the head of Beverly Hills, right? Like, whether she likes it or not, like she is the OG.
She's the glue. She holds the show together.
Yeah.
And you know what you want about her? She is. Like she keeps the show going, you know?
I mean, that's just the truth. But I wonder if like that's part of it too. It's like maybe if I just break down Kyle enough, then she'll end up leaving the show, and then really I can be the queen bee.
I don't think she wants to break down Kyle. I think she wants maybe Kyle for herself.
Yeah. Well, so like, what's your dream team? If you had to fire people from the show outside of Rinna, are you keeping the rest of the cast?
I'd say the core group that we need present mm-hmm. are Garcelle, Sutton, Kyle, Dorit. Mm-hmm. Those four for me. And mm-hmm. then, like, I'm down to throw in a couple of the others. Like, I love Crystal. My only issue with Crystal is I think she's, I want to be friends with her. I just don't know that this is the right group of girls for her, because, like, I don't know that she operates on the same level as them, or down on their level. Like, she's always just, like, giving such sound and honest feedback on life mm-hmm. that I don't know that it meshes with this group all the time, but I would love to see her again. I don't know if it's the right fit or not, but and then Kathy, I think, will be back, but yeah.
I think if they took out Erica, I think that would be really important for Crystal. I think that would be really good for her.
That's a good point.
We gotta break up the Fox Force 5.
It's happening though. I can feel it's absolutely happening. There's no way.
You can feel it in the air.
Yeah, there's a change. There's a change in the seasons. I can feel it.
So who would you bring up just like selfishly? Like back from the old guard?
Oh, Kim. Kim 1000%. Kim needs to be there. And I don't like Lisa Vanderpump, but I do think it would be fun.
I think like I would be willing to keep Lisa for another season if we could bring back Kim and Camille.
See, but Camille keeps coming back and underdelivers. That's my issue with Camille. I would rather Denise come back.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Denise would come back. She's said it many times.
She's got to pay for Aaron's, whatever molecule machines or whatever.
Well, I'm not prepared to hear Aaron's thoughts on COVID-19 and the January 6th event.
Oh, Lord. I mean, Aaron's not prepared to hear the thoughts that come out of his head. So, you know.
He's, to me, like the face of QAnon.
Well, on that note, do you have any final thoughts from the episodes?
No, I mean, great premiere from Salt Lake City. Happy BH is wrapping up. Can't wrap up soon enough. And I'm looking forward to getting Potomac soon.
Well, I'm so excited about Potomac. I can't even put it into words. Like, to see Karen Huger back on my screen, it's like a warm hug. Like a really warm hug. And I'm excited about it.
They're my home. They're my family.
They're my chosen family. Well, thank you so much, Tom. This was a real treat to have you.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for thinking of me.
Yeah, well, you have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
Yay, thank you, Kara. Bye, everyone.